Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Wednesday class, May 7, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we look at the exegesis of verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 6 and 7. But God, the one who comforts the downhearted and the humble, comforted us by the coming of Titus, pastor teacher Titus. And not only by means of his coming, but also by means of the comfort with which comfort he, Titus, was comforted and encouraged by you. As he reported to us, and Titus had a great report for the Apostle Paul. As he reported to us, your longing, your deep sorrow, your great concern for me, Apostle Paul, with the result that I rejoiced even more. Paul has plus H. Paul is a spiritually mature believer. He has God's perfect happiness, but when he got this report from pastor teacher Titus, his happiness increased even more. Now the key word in verse 7 there is the Greek word kairo. Looks like that in the Greek, that's C-H-A-I-R, long O, kairo. And kairo is one of the main Greek words for happiness. It means to rejoice. It means to be glad. It means to have, in this case, inner happiness. Plus H. This is the inner happiness that the Apostle Paul, as a spiritually mature believer, has. A self-contained happiness. Paul always had this self-contained happiness. Kairo is the other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ. Virtue love enables you to have a great inner happiness of soul. Even when you're going through great adversity or pain, the comparative adverb malon, along with kairo, means to a greater degree than ever before, or even more, or now more than ever. In other words, the Apostle Paul had plus H, great inner happiness before Titus returned and gave his great report. But now the Apostle Paul has happiness more than ever before. Well, this brought us to a study of what the Word of God has to say about happiness. And in the Scriptures, there are three biblical categories of happiness in the Word of God. There is pseudo-happiness, or minus H. There is establishment happiness, or neutral H. And there is perfect happiness, the possession of God's perfect happiness, or plus H. Now, we have studied the first two categories. Category number one, again, was pseudo-happiness, or minus H. Now, who is the ruler of planet Earth right now? Right now, it's a fallen angel. Satan is the current ruler of this planet. And he set up a system to control all the people on planet Earth. And when you as a believer get out of fellowship with God, you get right into his plan, his cosmic system, which he created. And now you are making yourself a disciple of the devil. It's sad to say today, but there are many, many Christians out there that have made themselves the disciples of the devil by their own bad decisions. And they are in arrogance rather than humility. They have negative volition rather than positive volition. They have wrong priorities. God and his word are way down here, and everything else is way up here. And as a result, they have a happiness, all right, but it is minus H. Pseudo-happiness, not really happiness at all. Now, if you are in Satan's cosmic system and a disciple of the devil, why, you may have gone yesterday to see the Golden Knight hockey game, and they got beat by 2 goals from Edmonton. You probably lost your happiness. Didn't have any happiness. And by the way, I've been watching them play, and I was listening to the Colonel in a class a while back, and the University of Texas was playing Notre Dame for the national championship, and Notre Dame beat the University of Texas. And the colonel got up and he said, if they're not going to play like champions, they should never be champions. And the Texas team did not play like champions. They have no reason being a champion. Notre Dame did play like a champion. They should be. And I go, that's what I feel about the Golden Knight. If they're not going to play like champions, they don't deserve to be champions. Somebody else does. There you go. Well, that was all free of charge, no extra for that. So, minus H, pseudo-happiness, is Satan's attempt to counterfeit the happiness, the contentment, the blessing which God has provided for every church-age believer as royal family of God. In Isaiah chapter 14, we have the 5 I wills of Satan. Satan said, I will be like the Most High God. He is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. He knows that God has his perfect happiness, and Satan is counterfeiting God's happiness with his own pseudo-happiness, a counterfeit happiness. As the ruler of this world, Satan likes to keep his constituents happy, but his happiness never lasts. He does so by providing stimulation and ambition and self-indulgence, which will either counterfeit or cancel out God's happiness that he has for us. Satan's myth of arrogance is that both people and pleasant circumstances in life can make you happy. That's what Satan says. Satan's propaganda is that money, success, pleasure, social life, sexual life, public approbation, fame, material things, travel, health, and pleasant circumstances, they will make you happy. That's what Satan's propaganda is. That's minus H. Pseudo-happiness is superficial, volatile, unstable, frustrating, and it's very temporary, very, very temporary. Pseudo-happiness is the source of self-induced misery under the law of volitional responsibility. Galatians 6:7, you reap what you sow. Now that's the first category of happiness in the Bible, Satan's pseudo-happiness. Second category is establishment happiness or neutral happiness. And establishment happiness is derived from compliance with the laws of divine establishment in the Word of God. Now, the laws of divine establishment are for the whole human race. They're for believer and unbeliever alike. And the unbeliever can achieve neutral happiness through enforced and genuine humility. The key to happiness in the unbeliever is having a fantastic humility. The unbeliever can marry a woman with whom he has total compatibility, and at the same time he can work in some job or profession which he thoroughly enjoys, and he will have neutral happiness. And this neutral happiness is presented in Ecclesiastes 9:9. And we saw that last time. Ecclesiastes 9:9 mentions these two areas of life, marriage and work, as the basis for which even unbelievers can have a genuine short-term happiness. It's not permanent. It's a short-term happiness compatible with their capacity. But that happiness ends when they die. Because for the unbeliever, after physical death, he winds up in torments and is there in torments until the great white throne judgment when he's cast into the lake of fire. There's no happiness in torments. There's no happiness in the lake of fire. And he is in the lake of fire for all eternity. So Ecclesiastes 9:9 mentions these two areas of life, marriage and work, as the basis for which unbelievers can have a genuine short-term happiness compatible with their capacity. But it's very, very short-term. You see, we live on this earth a very short time. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. So neutral happiness is a very, very temporary happiness, which does not sustain under pressure or carry over into eternity. Now that brings us to the third category of happiness that the Bible talks about, and that is God's perfect happiness. God has happiness, perfect happiness, and that is plus H. Ha-ha, there you go. Plus H, God's perfect happiness. This is a self-contained happiness that is in your heart, and you carry it with you everywhere you go, no matter what you're doing. You carry it with you at home. You carry it with you in your marriage. You carry it with you in your family. You carry it with you at your job. You carry it with you when you go to a restaurant. You carry it with you everywhere you go. 24/7. This is a permanent happiness, a self-contained happiness. While neutral happiness is dependent, a dependent happiness, perfect happiness, God's happiness, plus H, is independent happiness. While neutral happiness is dependent on circumstances, perfect happiness, God's happiness, is independent. It's in your soul. It's in the heart of the spiritually mature believer. Plus H, God's happiness, is the monopoly of the believer who has grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attained spiritual maturity, and it only belongs to those few believers who have attained spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in their hearts. Now, in this third category of happiness, God's perfect happiness, so far we have studied 5 points. We noted in point one that plus H is the only happiness that does not change with the weather, with disastrous circumstances or difficult circumstances of life. It is a permanent happiness you take with you always, at all times, 24/7. Point two, when you attain spiritual maturity, perfect happiness, God's happiness, reaches its peak. And there is nothing like that in this life. You share the happiness of God 24/7, no matter what's going on, whether you're in great prosperity or whether you're in great adversity, whether you are in great health or whether you are dying from some terminal illness, whether you're living or you're dying, whether you're in prosperity or adversity, you have this happiness with you always, 24/7. Point three, perfect happiness is a perpetual happiness for every category of existence after salvation. Point four, opposition from Satan, and as you attain spiritual maturity, well, then there's where you're going to find some opposition from Satan. Remember a fellow named Job? He was the greatest believer on planet Earth. The greatest believer on planet Earth was Job. And Satan went before the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no believer like him on planet Earth." And then Satan says, "Well, yeah, sure, why not? I mean, look, he's the wealthiest person on planet Earth. He has bazillions of dollars. He has all, you've given him all these fantastic material blessings. You take all those away from him and he will curse you to your face." So Jesus Christ said, "All right, take him away from him, but don't touch his life." So Satan opposed Job. Job's the greatest believer on the earth, and took all of those away, all of those blessings away. And Job said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord."
He glorified God. And this was the angelic conflict. This was Satan causing undeserved suffering for blessing. That only goes to the mature believer. That only goes to the winner believer. The winner believer who attains maturity will have a special category of blessing, undeserved. This Job hadn't done anything to deserve this blessing. Undeserved suffering for blessing provided by Satan himself. And then Satan went before the Lord again. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you consider my servant Job, there's no one like him on the place on planet Earth. And Satan said, well, yeah, skin for skin. You take away his health. You take away his health, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord says, all right, take away his health. And Job lost all of his health. He just sat in a pile. He had sores all over his body, pus everywhere. And his wife looking at him. Now, the greatest test he had was his wife. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, thank you, sweetie pie, my wonderful wife, thank you. But he didn't curse God. He again gave all the glory and honor to God. It was undeserved suffering for blessing. It was provided by Satan himself to this winner believer. And many times, undeserved suffering. That winner believer, there aren't a lot of them in America, but for those few winner believers in America, many times Satan is the one that provides that undeserved suffering for blessing, that opposition. But point four was opposition from Satan and persecution by other believers and other unbelievers in the cosmic system. All that does is simply intensify the winner believer's perfect happiness. He doesn't lose that happiness. It intensifies his perfect happiness. That self-contained happiness he has no matter what is going on. Point five, since God possesses perfect happiness, he desires to share his perfect happiness with us. We as members of the royal family of God, therefore, we have the potential of realizing and sharing God's perfect happiness, self-contained happiness. And God will keep you alive long enough to attain his happiness, provided you have positive volition and humility and make the good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain spiritual maturity. Now, that's the first 5 points we studied last time, and then we stopped there. So point six, we continue tonight. Point six on plus H, God's perfect happiness. This is what he has for all of you. This is what God wants to pour out and give to all of you in his magnificent plan that he has for you. The greatest plan of all, not your plan. The greatest plan of all is what God's plan is for you. And that plan for you is to have his plus H, perfect happiness, 24/7, no matter what's going on in your life, in America, in the world, it makes no difference. So point six, God commands us. This always gets me, this point, point six. God commands us to be happy. But here, that I can see why he has to do that, because there's a lot of believers out there saying, no, I want to be a sorry old miserable cuss. And most believers are sorry old miserable cusses. So God gives us a command. It's always in the imperative mood. He commands us to be happy. This is what He wants for us. This is God's plan for us. He wants us to be happy. So God commands us that we have His perfect happiness. And this is in the Old Testament. This is in the New Testament. So let's first of all go to the Old Testament. Take a look at it there. In Psalm 97. Psalm 97, verse 12. Psalm 97, verse 12. And the verse here, the verb in the Hebrew is in the imperative mood. This is a command. And the command is, be happy. Be happy in the Lord. You who are righteous, the grace righteous believer, and praise His holy name. There, it's a command. Be happy in the Lord. Now turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And again, we have the verb kairo in the imperative mood. It's a command. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, royal family of God, fellow believers, be happy in the Lord. Again, the command. Be happy in the Lord. Command. Now, look over to chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, again, this is in the imperative mood. Keep on having plus H. Keep on being happy. Keep on having God's plus H, perfect happiness, in the Lord. And then he adds, at all times. Always. At all times. That's 24/7. No matter what's going on. At all times. This is God's plan. When you make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, fulfill spiritual skill number one, keep on being empowered by the Spirit, walk by means of the Spirit, you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. When you fulfill spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, which is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and attain spiritual maturity and then execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, well, that's when you will have plus H, the perfect happiness of God. You will rejoice in the Lord at all times, 24/7. Now, God never has to repeat Himself, but He repeats Himself here. I will repeat the command. And again, we have the verb in the imperative mood. Keep on being happy. Keep on sharing the happiness of God. Keep on having plus H. So we have them. Keep on sharing the happiness of God. Keep on having perfect happiness in the Lord at all times. I repeat the command. Keep on having this perfect happiness of God. It's a command, a mandate for us. Point seven, perfect happiness is the only happiness in the world that you can have at all times. Plus H, God's happiness is the only happiness in the world you can have at all times. 24/7, wherever you go, no matter what your circumstances, it is a self-contained happiness. This is a good place right here. I'm going to remind you again. We have a memorial service coming up for Randy Frick. It'll be Saturday, May 17th. Saturday, May 17th, 10 a.m. 10 a.m. Saturday, May 17th. And when it says 10 a.m., get here before 10. Because whoever's running this thing starts on time. So 10 a.m. Saturday, May 17th. Now, a reason why I brought up Randy Frick. First of all, Randy had the greatest, he had plus H. He had the greatest laugh. He made my day teaching the Word of God. He would sit back here and laugh, the loud laugh over my stupid jokes. He laughed, and when he took his wife, lovely wife, Dodie, and Deb and me to lunch. Dodie has a horrible back. She doesn't sleep well. She usually gets up at 3 or 4 in the morning, and she goes to bed in the afternoon. Her back is so bad. So Randy would take Deb and me and Dodie to lunch. We went to lunch all the time. And we go to lunch every time at lunch. Randy would say, talk about something, or I would present something, and he would laugh till his tears would run down his cheek. We're there for lunch. He is laughing so loud. And Dodie's just looking at him and watching his tears coming down. He's laughing so loud. And he's dying of cancer. He's dying of cancer. He has this fantastic inner happiness. Pancreatic cancer is deadly. Pancreatic cancer is deadly cancer. About 99% of the people that get it die from it. And it usually doesn't take very long. And Don Lepchick died of pancreatic cancer. Randy Frick died of pancreatic cancer. But I can tell you, when he was dying of pancreatic cancer, he would take us out to lunch, and then we would tell stories and laugh so hard that I just looked at Dodie, and she's looking at Randy, and it made her so happy to see her husband, who was dying of cancer, so happy while he's dying. She just looked at him, and it made her day, made everything. What a testimony to his wife. What a testimony to all those people around him. Now, Randy, in case you're, he's the one on Sunday who led singing here for a long, long time. Now, Gary Brown, the great crooner, is the one who's leading singing now. But Randy Frick had a great voice. He sang in a music group when he was at Washington State University. That music group went all over the Northwest, singing and giving the grace gospel in the process. He was they sang gospel music. He was the song leader at Spokane Bible Church. My mother went to Spokane Bible Church. My mother loved Randy Frick as the song leader at Spokane Bible Church. However, she told me, well, Randy is the best gospel singer I've ever heard, except for Tennessee Ernie Ford. Now, Tennessee Ernie Ford, he was number one, and Randy's number two, but that's all right. And Randy made, since he's been here, been making the Christmas special every Christmas. I don't know if you realize it. He would spend over 6 months, him and Dodie, over 6 months going through 600 slides. 600 slides and music to all of that. And they spent half a year putting that together. And then they would invite Deb and I over to sit down, and then they would show what we had for this year's Christmas. They were already working. Randy was already working for this next Christmas. He was working several months in for this next Christmas play. And I believe Doty will pull it all together. Randy had it pretty well done already. But the thing is, he's dying of pancreatic cancer. By the way, extremely painful. And the cancer totally fills up your stomach and your intestines. You can't eat anything. You can't eat a thing. And we, even in the last few days, he invited Deb and I over. He was in his bed, and we're there, and he's still had this great sense of humor, and he was just a few hours away from absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, and he was still had that great, perfect happiness. I hope, and I, all of you, every one of you, I hope that you, from your own good decisions of humility, respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God, from your positive volition, from your understanding that spiritual priorities are way up here, number one, over everything else. I hope you'd live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attain maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, because I hope that you enjoy that perfect happiness 24/7. Self-contained happiness, whether you're living or whether you're dying, whether you're in prosperity or you're in suffering, makes no difference. So point seven, perfect happiness is the only happiness in the world you can have at all times, wherever you are, no matter what your circumstances. It is a self-contained happiness. Eight, the perfect happiness which you attain in time, you carry that with you into the eternal state. The perfect happiness, plus H, which you attain here in time, you carry that with you into the eternal state, just as you also will carry your greater grace blessings for eternity, awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, where all winner believers receive crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings that will glorify God forever and ever and ever in the eternal state. So perfect happiness, plus H, is not something you attain in the eternal state. It's something you attain here while you're here on earth by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Now don't get me wrong, there is happiness and blessing for all believers in heaven, but for the winner believers, it's very, very special. But perfect happiness must be developed here in time. It's designed for living and dying right now. So how do you obey the command to be happy? You can't be hypocritical and try to fake it. To obey the command to keep on having happiness in the Lord at all times is something we cannot do by our own ability, no more than we can do anything for our salvation. All we can have is from our own ability is the momentary minus H or neutral H. This divine command can only be executed by living the spiritual life, by the spiritual skills, attaining spiritual maturity, and having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Point nine, the characteristics of God's perfect happiness, plus H. The characteristics of plus H. First of all, perfect happiness is tranquility of soul. Tranquility of soul. Second, perfect happiness is a problem-solving device that you have in your heart preventing stress in the soul. It eliminates stress in the soul. Because perfect happiness is this great problem-solving device that you have in your heart, and that means that prevents any stress from being in the soul. Doctors today have patients coming all the time. And the number one issue is stress. Stress that they have in their soul is causing all kinds of health problems. Hypertension, high blood pressure, all of these different things. Heart problems because of stress. In the soul. Perfect happiness is the problem-solving device and preventing stress in the soul. Third, perfect happiness is contentment of soul. You're content. You're content whether you are a billion, bazillionaire. Make you a bazillionaire. Whether you're a bazillionaire or you're totally destitute. It makes no difference. You're content. Like the widow. And the widow's mites. Those are mites, not mice. The widow's pennies. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught this. Here were all these religious people dropping in their coin. Clink, 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 clink. Like, look at what we're giving. We're giving a really great amount. The widow put in her two pennies. And Jesus Christ said, this widow gave infinitely more than all these guys dropping in, religious leaders, clunk, 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 clunk. Because she gave everything she had. That's all she had. She first of all gave her heart to Jesus Christ. She first of all loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. She knew Jesus Christ. She knew that He would provide. She gave everything she had, which was only two pennies, because she knew God would provide for her. She loved Him so much, and she knew He would provide every detail, as He always has provided every detail in her life. He would continue to do so. It isn't an amount. Grace giving is not an amount. It's a mental attitude. It's a mental attitude. You could have nothing. You could be totally destitute and yet have the fantastic mental attitude of grace giving. Or you could be like the Corinthian believers. They're multi-millionaires. They own casinos in Corinth. They have all kinds of money and all kinds of material things. And yet they don't give a diddle. They don't even understand grace giving. In fact, the Apostle Paul refused to take one penny from the Corinthian believers. They didn't understand grace. They didn't understand grace giving. So he just said no. But you know who provided a fantastic grace, generous grace giving? The Macedonians. And the Macedonians were destitute. They were like the widow. They were totally destitute. And yet they gave graciously and generously for the Apostle Paul, for the believers in Jerusalem that were destitute. The Macedonians gave above and beyond, sacrificially. They supported the Apostle Paul and his ministry everywhere where he went. The Corinthians, Paul wouldn't take one penny from them. Because they were millionaires. They had all kinds of money. But they didn't understand grace giving. So we're getting there. We're in 2 Corinthians 7. Wait till we get to 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9. Two chapters. Paul has to clobber them about teach what grace giving really is. Two chapters he will go in 2 Corinthians, and here's another. Now it is true after 1 Corinthians, it is true. They rebounded. They got into reversion recovery. They know that they were 100% wrong. They knew that Paul was 100% right in what he taught in 1 Corinthians. And they are on the way to reversion recovery. That they've done a great job right there so far. But they still haven't got a clue as to about grace giving and what that is. So, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Paul will teach grace giving. So perfect happiness is contentment of soul. Four, we're looking at the characteristics now of plus H. Four, perfect happiness is capacity for life and love, appreciation, gratitude, and thanksgiving. Perfect happiness is capacity for life and love, appreciation, gratitude, and thanksgiving. Five. Perfect happiness is never feeling threatened by adverse circumstances or by people or by evil scenarios. Perfect happiness is never, never feeling threatened by adverse circumstances, by people, or by evil scenarios. Six, perfect happiness is the invigoration of happiness. This is the stimulation and the enthusiasm of life from right priorities, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, and a soul that is free from human viewpoint garbage. So perfect happiness is the invigoration of happiness. This is stimulation and enthusiasm of life. Because of right priorities, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Seven, perfect happiness is having a true sense of security. Perfect happiness is having a true sense of security. You have assurance regarding eternal security. You have assurance regarding eternal life. You have assurance and security, a freedom. You are free from fear, free from worry, free from doubt, free from apprehension. That's security. Security be having freedom from fear and worry and doubt and apprehension. So perfect happiness is having a true sense of security. Eight, perfect happiness is stability. Stability from having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Perfect happiness is stability from having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 9. As a part of God's grace policy, God has found a way to share His perfect happiness with you, the believer. As a part of God's grace policy, God has found a way to share His perfect happiness with you, the believer. All of you as royal family of God. Ten. Perfect happiness is a happiness that never depends on people or circumstances. Plus H, perfect happiness is a happiness that never, 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 never depends on people or circumstances. I gave the illustration of Job, the greatest believer on the earth at that time. Another great illustration of this is King David. King David. And this had to have just broken his heart because his son, Absalom, overthrew. Absalom came and overthrew his dad's rule. And David had to leave. Absalom came to kill his father, become the new king. And David had to leave. He didn't have time to pack up anything. All he had time for was the word of God he had in his heart. And Absalom took charge. Absalom now living in the palace. David wasn't living in the palace. David is camping out in the wilderness. Absalom's living in the palace. Absalom is in there with all of the concubines. And Absalom's in there with all the money. David doesn't have any money. He doesn't have a palace. He's been driven from it. And yet, he has perfect happiness. Perfect happiness. And he wrote Psalm 23 in that perfect happiness. Yes, it broke his heart that his son would do this. His son is a total reversionist. His son died the sin unto death. But David had perfect happiness. And Absalom went after David, went after them to kill them. But Absalom wound up dying the sin unto death. And God brought David back. And put David back in the palace, back as king of Israel. And David had greater blessings than he ever had before he left. That was undeserved suffering. David, the greatest king in Israel's history. David, who wrote most of the Psalms in the Old Testament, most of them were written by David. David, a winner believer. When, after the Absalom revolution, when he lost everything, God brought him back, put him back in the palace, and blessed him with greater blessings than he ever had before. So perfect happiness is a happiness that never depends on people or circumstances. 11. Perfect happiness works for the believer in both prosperity and adversity, suffering, in both living and dying. perfect happiness plus H works for the believer in both prosperity and adversity or suffering, and in both living and dying. So verse 7, and not only by means of his coming, Titus' coming, but also by means of the comfort with which comfort he, pastor teacher Titus, was comforted and encouraged by you as he reported to us, gave this fantastic report to the Apostle Paul about your longing, your deep sorrow, your great concern for me, the Apostle Paul. You changed your thinking. You had repented. You rebounded and reversion recovery. You knew you were 100% wrong, and you knew that the teaching of the grace and truth of the Word of God was 100% right, with the result that I rejoiced even more. Paul's great, perfect happiness was even greater happiness. 2 Corinthians 7:7. Now that brings us to this next section, verses 8 all the way down through verse 12. Well, you're going to see the attitude of the Apostle Paul. He knows that when he taught 1 Corinthians, he had to be very tough. But he loved them all. He loved every Corinthian believer with virtue love. Loved every one of them with impersonal love for all. And he wanted the very best for them. And he didn't want to see them crash and burn. He didn't want to see them die the sin unto death. And yet, many of those believers in Corinth died the sin unto death. And Paul knew about it. And it broke his heart. He didn't want to see them die the sin unto death. And so he had to be tough. He had to teach them tough love, virtue love, but tough love. Point out their reversionism. And they listened. And they rebounded, repented, and turned back. And now we're going to see in this next section, absolutely, I ought to give you previews of coming attractions. Here's the corrected translation, previews of coming attractions. Verse 9. I guess we haven't had 8 yet. Verse 8. For even though I caused you soul pain, sorrow by means of my letter, 1 Corinthians, I absolutely do not regret it. Paul absolutely does not regret teaching 1 Corinthians. Although I did feel regret, I see that that letter, 1 Corinthians, caused you soul pain and sorrow, though only for a little while. As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I am not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. For you were caused to have soul pain, sorrow according to the will of God, for the purpose that in no way did you suffer loss or injury or harm because of us. For the soul pain that is according to the will of God produces true repentance without regret that results in deliverance from the sin unto death. But the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system, false repentance, produces death. The sin unto death. verse 11. For behold, what this very thing, this according to the will of God, soul pain and sorrow has produced in you. What did it produce? What diligence. Even what defense, vindication of yourselves. Even indignation toward their bad decisions to live in the cosmic system. Even fear, humility, respect for God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. Even an intense longing and desire for Bible doctrine. Even tremendous zeal to live the spiritual life. Even avenging of wrongs. In everything, you have demonstrated yourselves to be blameless in the matter. Ah, boy, he just loves this. And so we're just kind of getting started here. But verses 8 through 11, what a fantastic paragraph we have here. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.